Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, my listening audience. You wonderful people who do not accept disease, you do not accept death unless it's time for you to go, and that's under control of the men in charge. This show is dedicated to you. This show is dedicated to the people around you, particularly the people around you who love you and who find at these perilous times in their life's journey that a loved one is suffering. Doctors go through this. Doctors go through this as much as anybody, because doctors have a commitment with their patients, and that commitment is to keep you healthy, or if you come to them in times of grief, to take you out of it emotionally, physiologically, so on and so forth. So doctors, and many authentic doctors are out there, really get in touch with their patients. As always, and this is a theme in my show, the problem is education. Can you weather the storm psychically, spiritually, when your life is just running along just fine, often without a worry, and bada boom, on your doorstep is the beginning of an illness, and you begin that crazy spin and your world stops. And this supposed detour, which is not a detour, it's really the beginning of a transformation, of a journey. So at the end of the show, as always, I'm going to have a good ending. But you see, along the way, there's lots of bumps. So this show, when we archive it, is on death, dying, and disease, and what you can do about it when it's you, to the extent that I can help you and give you perspective. Again, I'm not a theologian, but you got to understand this about doctors. Doctors are always facing questions that theologians face. Why do good people suffer? And everybody goes through that dark journey where they have to look up into the sky and ask if this suffering is a suffering designed by God or perhaps the devil. If you haven't considered that, then you're blessed. I don't know how to respond to that, but I can tell you that I know from my patients, many people ask themselves, has God just overlooked me? Am I just food for the dark energies? So doctors have to deal with this, because this is what your healings are made of. If you're fixated on how God looked over you, passed you over, and how you just got destroyed and screwed with a disease, that doctor's got a lot more work to do. Every now and then, not often, I'd say 1 in 10,000 come in and they say, I know that this illness is just to get me closer to God. They look at it that way. They understand they're going to go through some form of a transformation spiritually, physiologically, psychologically, structurally, in every single way, shape, and form. And they are ready to go. If I had 1,000 people like that, America would change. Not enough people see it that way. Not in the beginning. Tough to see it that way. But enough people through their journey, the ones that get to the other side, and this is the uncanny thing, when you get on the other side of something serious, you start to see how this was in the divine plan. So it's easy to understand this in the aftermath of it, when there's victory, when you have your health again, when you didn't get that organ cut out that they told you was going to have to be cut out. It's a big, important part of you that you are not missing because you fought the fight, the good fight. But we're going to go deeper than that today. We're going to go more deeply because we're going to go into terminal illness. This is when you are going. And it doesn't appear that there's any viable choice except to just take the ride. All right. In your daily experience, occasionally you run into a person that you have enough relationship with, enough good times with, that finds themselves in quite a pickle. They get a diagnosis, and that diagnosis is bad or terminal. And you can't run away. You work with them. They're your neighbors. They're in your family. People generally do what common sense dictates. They kind of, if they can, move away from the person when they get sick. But I'm talking about that situation where you can't. You can't get away. You have to deal. The first thing people do, the first mistake they make, and again, this show is never about dogma, so there's no rules. You do what you think is best at your discretion. This is for guidelines. But working with lots of people who are ill, I can tell you the last thing they want you to do is pity them. They don't want you to point out that their gait has changed, that their speech has changed, that their eyeballs are moving indifferent, that they look white or green. They don't want to feel that sympathy. They want you to laugh. They want you to be you. They want you to come from the very best part of yourself, because we all have these two selves. We have the high self and we have the low self. And in everyday relationship, whether it's in the family, in the community, or at work, the high self and the low self are constantly vying with each other for which one's going to express, depending on the circumstance. The part of you that's closer to God, the part of you that's further away from God. Yes, we have both sides operating dynamically, in dynamic flux at all times. And so really, what relationship is about with sick people is holding space. Sick or dying, chronically ill. I'm not talking about the two-week flu. I'm talking about chronically ill, stuff that doesn't go away, that may never go away, and that if it goes away, pack a lunch, because this is World War III. And then I'm talking about the terminally ill. They're asking you to hold space. They don't know that. They're not going to tell you what your role is, because they don't know, because they may never have been sick. So I'm going to ask you to open yourself to the concept here. And that concept is come from the highest part of yourself. Now, how does that translate into functional reality? My show is about functional reality, not lofty rhetoric. What does this mean? Don't talk to them with low blood sugar. Don't talk to them when you're in a rush. Don't talk to them when you're on a telephone and you can't hear them. Don't talk with them when you haven't cleared out your schedule and you really don't have enough time. Don't talk to them when perhaps there are other people in the room who may take you out of your spiritual state. Hopefully they won't be sitting in hospitals. Hospitals are terrible places to have conversations. Yes, I understand sometimes it must be that way. But talking to someone and holding space, so this is a word I'm going to keep referring to, holding space for them out in the countryside overlooking a lake, it's very different than holding a space for them in the hospital next to the cafeteria with the stench of the cafeteria leaking into the room while you're sitting there talking to an old friend, a terminally ill friend, someone that you want to bring God to you in the moment. And the clanging of pots and pans and the stench of a filthy hospital is leaking in to the room. You get my point. Hold space for them in environments, in situations where you can give. You see, that's the thing. And the beauty of it is, if you hold space in that moment for them, the high part of them comes out. And it has a power over death. It has a power over chronic illness. It brings out the humor between two people. It brings out the authenticity between two people. And holding space is like a confession. Holding space is like the great climax in a great film. That's not what we understand normally. I deal with this all the time. Lots of people come in. Successful people, business people. People who are doing just fine and in their 50s one day, they find out something's wrong with their body. It's terrible to watch them go through the transitions they have to go through, their personal assistants, their loved ones, their clientels, their business colleagues. All this energy devoted to what do we do about this? It creates a secondary form of the illness. So the question becomes, how do you hold space? First of all, I hope you have a sense of this from my 46 shows or 47 shows. Because disease is an imbalance. A disease is not a disease. You don't have to be a pathologist, an electron microscopist, to understand that disease is simply the soul not radiating through the physiology of the cell. That disease is really not more than the soul, the soul's intention, the soul's in expression. Unable to radiate through the physiology, the biology of the cell. So the cell has to adapt under that demagnetized, uninspired state. And it no longer defends itself as successfully against the forces of evil. Parasites, infections, metals, prions, mycoplasma, nanobacteria. All these entities that derive from dark things. When the soul cannot express itself through its magnetic field into the tissue, you have a biological problem. And so these people you see, your loved ones who are sick, you have to look at them and understand some imbalance, some startling imbalance between their psyche, between their structure, between their toxicology, their nutrition, and between physical scars from physical traumas. Yes, that terminal cancer was often rooted in the breakage of bones from car accidents 20 or 30 years ago. That Parkinson's disease was rooted in an accident where your car rolled down the side of a hill and your neck was in a sling for 4 months. And your neck was never quite the same. Between imbalances in physical scarring, flexibility issues, chemical issues, and psychic issues. You ever notice a lot of people? You know this is true. A lot of people who leave us, left us before they died. Are you aware of that? Perhaps your eyes are not trained to see that. But certainly this is the case. I can vouch for that. Anybody in the field that works with people in the healing arts walks into situations where the person talking to you has quite obviously left this world long before they walked in. And I can tell you with a high degree of accuracy that in the end, one day, people turn around and say, oh, Mrs. So-and-so isn't here anymore. It came out of absolutely nowhere. People give signs all the time. Are you receptive to those signs? Can you see people waking up in the morning relentlessly with the relentless burden of not being able to come to terms with the fact that their dreams did not come true? What they had imagined their life to be in high school during puppy love is not in there.